Hey, welcome to Optimize Your Body with Martin Silva, where we talk raw, uncut facts to truly help you optimize your body.
What's happening, Drew? How you doing out there, mate? You all good?
Good morning, Martin. How are you? It's been a long time.
Good evening, mate. It's 7 p.m. here. What time is it there, mate? I'm sure it's bright and early by the looks of you.
I'm sat here in the dark with my coffee, so I've just been to Dunkin' Donuts, mate. It's the only place open at 4 in the morning, so nice. Unless a man would crumble in there, I promise you, because they got muffins, donuts staring at you, but I was strong. And they're trying to upsell you every minute as well, so.
Yeah, well, you didn't have any donuts. What's that? Bit of chocolate I see on the side of your mouth there, mate?
I know I've just overdone my calories for the day already.
Drew's back. It's good to see that you're back on the coffee, mate, because I thought it would be super, super human to come off it all together, but fair play, mate. How long did you come off coffee for? That's a crazy thing to do.
I did it like a month at a time, yeah.
Yeah?
But I'm trying to cycle in and out, but it's kind of the first week when you come off coffee is a very depressing week. I'm not sure if you felt the same, but it's a tough old slog on that week.
Mate, it is. Life is miserable as fuck, basically. Honestly, man, it's very tough. People don't realize it's a drug, isn't it? And it's like you realize when you get the withdrawals and you start like hating life and feeling sorry for yourself.
Yeah, it's terrible, man. That first week is a struggle, but I'm definitely better this time than last time I came off it. I feel like last time I came off it, I just went back into having 3, 4, 5 cups a day. Well, not five, I'm exaggerating a little, but definitely that afternoon coffee as well.
Yeah.
But this time, I'm probably sticking to 1 to 2, which is a good sign.
Yeah, sound me. That's good going. Yeah, I was gonna say, when you have your coffee, like, how did you, because my issue was, I was like, right, I'll have it, I won't have it for a few weeks, like 3 or 4 weeks, and then I'll have it again. But then when I brought it back in, I couldn't come back off it, like a year went by, and I thought I better try it again.
You're still on it. I don't know, it's just that, I guess it's kind of willpower for me. I haven't implemented that second month yet, so I was going to do a month off. Keep telling myself I'm going to start it, and it still hasn't come into fruition, so we'll see.
We'll see, man. Yeah, anyway, to the listeners, so Andrew is my good buddy. You know, we're both in the same boat. We're both, getting towards the top of our game now with all this fitness stuff. We've been in the game for a while, and he hasn't been on the podcast for a while. He's over in New York. It's 5 a.m. on a Friday, 7 p.m. here in Sydney. And, so just bear with us. It's not an ideal time for any of us. So today we're going to talk about a few different topics. And, just explain to the listeners about NEAT, which is like it's kind of like the activity and calories you're burning when you're not aware of it, right, Drew?
Yes, sir. So NEAT, I guess it's a new acronym in the fitness industry right now. It's becoming popular. The more and more we hear about it, it's a non-exercise activity thermogenesis. I just quickly Googled that, guys. It's any activity performed throughout the day that I guess is not planned or scheduled on your training planner. So what would that include? That includes when you're in work, maybe fidgeting.
It could be fidgeting in what way? In what way? Like, you know, we're talking about freaky stuff here. Like, I know people are, a lot of people are up to all sorts nowadays, isn't they? What do you mean by fidgeting? Just like, how do you explain that?
Around, I guess.
Yeah, just walking around.
Typing at work can be included in that.
All right, so no naughty stuff, guys. I know what you're probably thinking there. I know, like, you know, playing with yourself and work and stuff.
That's what you all think, anyway, so.
Yeah, crack on. Sorry, mate.
It can go up to, I guess, I think it can go up to as high as 32% in active people with regards to its whole energy expenditure, and around 15% in non-active or sedentary people. So you'd be surprised how much of a benefit they can be when it comes to burning calories, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's it. And go on, carry on, mate.
That's fine, mate. But it's been controversial lately because people are saying, you know, it's not neat if you're walking and things like that. You know, they're going over the top in terms of how we're recording it, but I find it very difficult to record or track if you're not counting your steps in there as well.
You feel about that. That's it, mate. And you just got to look at like the best part of your day, right? The best part of the average person's day, like myself and Andrew and most people listening to this, are spent at work. You know what I mean? You're doing chores or you're doing tasks. Say, for example, in the week, you're going to be, at, you know, the best part of your day of your waking hours, you're going to be at work. So let's just say the majority of people, for example, that Andrew and I train, generally have office jobs, you know, with the tech world we live in nowadays, and a lot of you might relate to that. And, you know, unless you're aware of how much activity you're doing, you know, it's very tough to actually get progress if your goal is to lose body fat and actually just being healthy all over. You know, you need to focus on moving more if you sat down for the best part of the day. So the Fitbit's a good tool. And yeah, just tell them a bit more, and about how you implement this with clients, and like what kind of, because it's just groundbreaking results in it when people are aware of how much they're moving, I find.
Yeah, massively, mate. I think even with a new client, if you just get them walking maybe 30 minutes to an hour a day, increase their energy expenditure, then you're going to get results straight away anyway, because they're sedentary. And I guess me and you are kind of blessed in a way, because we work in an active job. So for us to add any cardio on top of our normal working day, is it needed? Probably not. Mm. Unless you're getting diets and you're dialing yourself in. Now, with a normal client who is fairly sedentary, who sat down in the office all day, then adding some movement in is definitely going to help them with weight loss or fat burning.
Absolutely.
I definitely encourage you, if you are sat down as well, to just get around and move maybe every hour. It's not only going to help with calorie burn, it's also going to help with your movement, your mobility. And funnily enough, you'll probably be more productive from that. You may think that getting up and moving around again away from your desk is making you less productive, but it'll definitely increase that energy for you to do some work. Whether or not you want that, I don't know. But
that's exactly right. And it's been proven, right? It's been proven that, you know, the people who move the most, and this is not moving like jumping around doing burpees and doing crazy backflips. This is literally just walking around, just moving. People are the most healthy, better longevity. They have a healthier life and overall wellness. The people who generally just move enough and walk around, you know, on a regular basis. But yeah, let's just relate. I'm just trying to relate this to the listeners now, you know, because cardio, as we've done a podcast on this before, and I think slowly people are starting to understand now that actually, you know, cardio is not as important as we think it should be in terms of, again, most people listening to this, you know, they want to lose fat, they want to get in shape, you know. I get much better results with people when I just get them to focus on, because if you think about the total calorie expenditure, the total calories the average person is burning, for example, like your client, if you say to them, right, just like you said, if you say to a new client, for example, they're overweight, 20 pounds overweight, let's say, they want to lose some weight, or 8 kilos overweight, they want to lose some weight, they want to lose it, and, you know, they don't know how to go about, you know, do I do this cardio, do I do that? If you get them doing, say, for example, a 20-minute walk a day on top of their regular activity and what they're doing now, you add that total calorie expenditure up over a week, and it's pretty significant, you know? So, you know, you could class that, like you said, that's class as cardio in a sense, but if you're tracking your overall movements, then, you know, 20 minutes of walking is going to be, let's say, an extra 2 or 3,000 steps. Now, give us an example, and of like your daily steps.
It doesn't have to be steps, right? I think you got the psychological aspect of it. If you encourage the person to, so say you're working with your client, right, and you say, I just want you to move more throughout the day. That can include walking the dog, right? So that's a task taken care of. That can include doing something with your kids, okay? Another task taken care of. Mm-hmm. And that can include cleaning the house, right? Doing the laundry. All these aspects are included in this. So it definitely has an impact on your mind, because if you are, for example, trying to move more, you do the kitchen, you clean the kitchen that you've been holding off for a while. You do the laundry that keeps piling up. Yep. You're going to feel better doing these tasks than just going to the gym and doing some monotonous cardio, which is difficult to do every day. Now, it's not difficult to go out and walk. It's not difficult to do some chores around the house. Plus, it's going to be better for your mind. You're going to be feeling better. You're going to go about your day in a much happier place, in a much happier spot. So adding NEAT in, especially for the average person, is definitely more ample, you know?
100%, 100%. Yeah, what was I going to say then? I lost my trail of thought. But yeah, that's it. So, you know, you say, but then it comes down to, like, in order for you to actually track that, right? So you can actually monitor this now. It's pretty easy. For example, like I mentioned, the Fitbit, or you can just use the apps nowadays to track how many steps you're doing or whatever. And as Andrew was saying then, you'd be surprised, these things like the chores and the things that you, you know, even when it comes to like the simple things like not taking the lift in work and taking the stairs, you know what I mean? Yeah. These small things. And actually, if you look at your steps, if you were to actually track your steps, it all racks up. So like, you know, just by being mindful of that and actually, you know, kind of going the extra mile in the sense, and actually... it makes you more productive as well, like you said, Drew, yeah, when it comes to doing those kind of things. It's, you know, it gets you moving, it changes your state of mind, and it becomes, and you start forming habits then, right?
Yeah. But it can work in the opposite direction as well, mate. If you know, obviously you're forming good habits doing that, but if you, again, what I said earlier about it being monotonous doing cardio in the gym, I know we're always bagging on cardio and this and that. We use it and implement it when we need it, obviously, as a tool when you hit a plateau. But if you are going too aggressively in the gym, then you're probably going to do less activity outside.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Less movement, and less calorie burn, less fat burn, and less productivity outside. And then that kind of defeats the purpose of what you want to do, right? You know, so just be aware that if you're doing strength training in the gym and you're adding cardio on top and it's maybe a high intensity session, then you when you're outside the gym, you probably won't even notice, but you're definitely moving less throughout the day. So just be very careful when you're implementing cardio into your race team.
Exactly. That's it. And if you look at the combination of, we can use ourselves as an example. If you look at the combination of lifting weights, building muscle, and actually just moving plenty, like Andrew and I, for example, yes, we've been lifting weights for a long time. So we've got a decent amount of lean muscle mass, which then in turn is keeping our metabolism, you know, essentially we have a fast metabolism because of the muscle mass we've gained. So that alone is burning X amount of calories. But then on top of that, then we both have active jobs. So luckily for us, as Andrew said, we're quite fortunate where we don't have to think about, you know, factoring in cardio because we're always on the move. We're personal trainers. Andrew lives in New York, so he probably does a lot more steps than me. But just these things you take for granted. So if you could actually focus on doing that and making that like the cornerstone of your regime, if you want to get in shape, you want to look good, you want to overall health, should be lifting weights. And in my opinion, to make it more sustainable for you, it's just focusing on your overall movement, right? So tracking your movement using, like I said, a Fitbit and whatnot, overall is going to get you reaching your goals much, much faster than it is, because cardio is something which can become a bit of a chore. And also the body, there's been studies that actually to show when it comes to splitting up your, for example, if you were to do 2 30-minute walks a day, as opposed to doing like cardio, scheduling like 1 hour walk of cardio, it's actually been proven if you just split it up, even if you split it into say 3 20-minute walks a day or just moving more, it's been proven to actually your body utilizes fat better and metabolizes fat better, so it burns fat better and actually stores muscle as well. So I mean, this is kind of like splitting hairs really, but it's been proven that actually if you split it into smaller intervals, so you're just factoring in movement into your day as opposed to having to go and do like an hour of cardio, you'll actually burn more fat as well. So
that's an easy win, right? That could be walking to work or taking a stop further out in work, or in the car park, parking much further away from your office building.
There we go.
Lunchtime in work, 20-minute walk, grab some food, afternoon, evening. Can either be a walk on your own just to clear your mind and de-stress, or it could be that you're taking your family somewhere, kids, partner, out somewhere to do something nice, or take the dog for a walk. So 3 20-minute walks might sound a lot, but really it's easy to implement in your day.
Exactly. And you start off with one, like anything, you know, the people I get the best results with when it comes to clients is essentially the ones who make slow incremental changes along the way.
Yeah.
For example, the first, you know, it's always, I'm really, even now I'm learning, right, Drew? I don't know about yourself, but for me, it's like I still sometimes put too much on people at the start. And this could be, it doesn't sound like much, but already they're making huge changes by coming to see you. Most people, but coming to see you and hiring you as a trainer, right? So they're making fundamental changes. And then when it comes to, you know, right, okay, now I want to focus on my nutrition. Okay, if you want to do those two things together, even that, I find getting someone to track their calories for a week and lift weights at the same time, the tracking side can become a bit too much to them because they've already committed to doing sessions. It's already a big change for them. So where I was going with that is just you can start off with 1 20-minute walk, you know, and just keep it there. You don't even have to track your steps and stuff, but if you were to do that today, for example, if you're listening to this now thinking, right, I want to get in shape, I want to look better, I want to feel better, how about on top of, don't change anything else, just do an extra 20-minute walk a day and just do that consistently. Yeah.
Yeah, and if you're leaning out, you know, easy win, right? You could start your steps per week maybe, right, I'm going to do 5,000 steps a week. Believe it or not, the average American, I'm not sure how it is in the UK, probably does around 4,000. Mm. So 5,000, there's an extra 1,000 per day, sorry. 3 weeks down the line, you hit the plateau again. Right, I'm going to increase to maybe 10,000 steps, drop a little bit more body fat. Next step, maybe 12,000, 15,000. Then it gets, I guess, to the point where 20,000 steps becomes a lot, okay? So yeah. If you are dialing yourself in for an event or a holiday or vacation or even a show, then that may be the time in to add additional cardio, whether it be HIIT or LISS, okay? So low intensity or high intensity. But until that time, you don't really need to add it in. You can just increase your steps, increase the movement, and that's going to work very well for you. And it's just much less toll on the body to do it like this, especially for the average person or the average gym goer. Mm-hmm. Now, if you are an athlete, for example, you might be a sprinter, a cyclist, then yes, you should be adding in additional cardio specific to your sport that's going to help you perform better. Mm. But for us average people who are sat down on our asses most of the day, going around and jumping around like a lunatic is not the best thing for you.
No, absolutely not. So I guess just to summarize NEAT, right, because it's a very, very important concept to bear in mind, people, right? It's, I can lots of people spring to mind now when I think of people I know, and I've just told them to be consistent with moving a bit more, even friends and stuff. I said, right, okay, I always go back to the Fitbit because it's a device that worked really well for me, even the level I was at. It just, like you just said then, Drew, it takes its toll when you're trying to really factor in your cardio, and it becomes a bit stressful because you're like, right, okay, I've got to, you know, especially if you're preparing for something, like even if for you guys listening to this, it's a holiday or whatnot, it can become a big stress on the body, you know, when you're trying to throw everything, because let's face it, I would go as far to say 90% of people are still in the on or off, you know, mindset kind of thing, where they, you know, they have a holiday come in and they throw everything in, including the kitchen sink, all at once for like 4 to 5 weeks. And then, you know, you're kind of leaving yourself with nothing else to work with then. And then obviously the rebound comes back once you've hit your goals and your holiday's over or whatnot. Then it's like, right, okay, now I have to go back to, you know, because you realize, at some point you realize that actually life gets in the way, people, right? So it makes it much easier on yourself if you can just focus on, quite simply, the simple thing of movement, okay? It just, it adds up, you know, astronomically, really, when it comes to your overall goal, so.
Yeah, and if you enjoy cardio, who the hell are we to say not to do it, you know?
Yeah.
We're obviously massive fans of strength training, but some people may enjoy cardio, so keep that in your routine as long as it's not affecting you, both mentally and physically, then keep at it, you know?
Exactly.
But just take these factors into account.
That's exactly right. So that's it. Just my message would be, people, don't overthink cardio. If you're thinking, right, I need to burn calories and lose weight, I know we all think logic is, oh, okay, I better start doing cardio and burn more calories. Because all that's going to happen then, your body will become more efficient at burning calories manually. So that means you have to manually burn those calories. But if you're, guess what, if you're just moving more, and like Andrew said earlier, just focusing on, you know, just implementing the simple chores you do, and, you know, walking, taking the stairs instead of taking the lift. The simple things like this make a massive difference in the grand scheme of things. So, what would you say to wrap it up, mate, to wrap up that topic?
Yeah, just make it a part of your lifestyle, NEAT, right? And it's going to be easier to a day or two in the long term. It becomes less of a chore, right? And it's less taxing on your body. So you're less likely to pick up injuries from it. And being productive is only a bonus, right, in the meantime. So it's going to help relationships with work and with the way you look and feel.
Exactly. And it's great, like, the outdoors as well, Drew. Like, I mean, I love walking personally. It's a massive hobby of mine. And just going outdoors, experiencing the great outdoors, getting some fresh air, and just cruising around without actually having to push yourself, you know what I mean? Just enjoying the scenery and, like you said, relationships, people you're with. It all racks up, you know?
And that, you know, and we're very dependent on our phones and things like that these days. So if you can do that and you can switch them off, stay off social media and just take things in, then it's going to help you de-stress, help you get better sleep.
Exactly.
And from that, obviously, that helps the body composition, which everyone wants.
Definitely. Let's jump on to the next topic now then, which is to do with the weighing scales, because you typed up a blog recently, and that was a very good one, actually, because I have this struggle with a lot of clients, and we've both been there ourselves, when it comes to getting obsessive with that number on the scales, right, Drew? So give the listeners a bit more of an insight into your experience with that, with the whole weighing scale dilemma, and also with clients.
It's definitely the implement of control, right? And it definitely affects people's days, actually. So the majority of people, and I'm not knocking on women, but especially women, this is my experience from working with hundreds of clients, okay? It definitely can determine the outlook of their day. So somebody might jump on the scales, they've lost a pound or two or three or four, they're happy, they're skipping out the door for the day. Another day they may look at their scales again. They may be up a pound or two, and that's going to ruin their day, may put them in a terrible mood.
Yep.
You have to be very careful whilst using the weighing scales. And it's getting a better understanding of what the scales actually mean. I think if it's having a negative and psychological impact on you, in a negative way, then weighing regularly is probably not the best thing to do. Now, I can sit here and knock it like a lot of people do in the industry and say, throw the scales out, do this and that, never weigh yourself. But I think that's kind of the wrong way to go about it. I think it's just having a better understanding of what certain things mean when you check the scales, and thinking about it a little bit differently rather than just seeing a number. What might have been the issue this week when I'm checking the scale? So, for example, have I been out last night eating at a restaurant where the food is probably packed with extra sodium to preserve it? Have I drunk more water that day? Have I drunk less water that day? Am I building muscle? All of these things need to be taken into account when you're checking the scales, so you don't have a fit or throw your toys out of the pram when you see that number is increasing.
Yeah, exactly. And you made a good point there when you said determines the outlook of their day. You know, it might sound a bit drastic to some people, but I've witnessed that firsthand myself with clients, literally. Mm. I'm not going to mention any names, but I've had loads of clients in the past. And I might mention the name now. Nah, I won't. I won't drop them in it.
I'm joking.
Laura. I'm joking. That's not a name anyway. For example, one client, there's heaps that come to mind, but one I can recall quite recently, and it's like it was getting to her, because she was doing it every single day, weighing herself every day. And I said to her, listen, try and do it once a week if you can, because even like, and we'll just go with that once a week for now and leave it there, because she was doing it every day. And then she went back into every single day, and literally it was just frying ahead. I mean, this is an extreme example, but the weights can fluctuate so much, like just like Andrew said, based on your fluid levels. So a massive, just as Andrew mentioned them, but I'm gonna say it again, sodium, okay? So sodium is the compound found within salt, right? And it's really good for you if you get the right types, like pink Himalayan, okay? So just to delve a bit deeper into that. But when you go out to restaurants and you eat out, or what I find is anywhere I eat out, right? So even if I'm choosing like what I think is a healthy option, I still find that my weight will fluctuate. My weight will go up on the scales the next day, even if I've gone and chosen a healthy option. Now, they add sodium to all of these meals and preservatives, like Andrew said. So what happens then is your body will retain water. So the sodium is really renowned for water retention and potentially, holding onto the water. So when you jump on the scales the next day, you could be a few kilos heavier. You know what I mean? For example, again, this is a bit of a drastic example, but, on the weekends, I think I ate out twice. And on Monday, I've been getting some gut issues as well, but most of it was just water retention. This is the most extreme I've had it, but I lost 5 kilos overnight, essentially. So Monday, I was 95 kilos. And then it was exactly 26 hours later then on the Tuesday morning, I was almost 5 kilos lighter, just purely water weight. primarily, right? So that just goes to show that having a literally I had two meals out on the weekend. God knows how much sodium and preservatives and whatnot they put in there. Not to mention I had a bit more carbohydrates. Now, a gram of carbohydrates will turn into around about 3 grams of water anyway. So bear that in mind, people, you know. So it can fluctuate drastically overnight on the scales. So using scales as a benchmark to your progress is normally a really, really bad idea. Now, there's some arguments to the law here. Obviously, you know, certain people who are, say, morbidly obese, and they really are in a desperate struggle to lose weight because, you know, they are in an extremely dangerous situation, then that's a bit different because it's essential for them to monitor that, at least at the start. But for the average person who's looking to shed a few pounds and whatnot, weighing yourself regular is not really one of the most important things for me at the start. There's other factors which are more important that come into that, right, Andrew? When it comes to what would you say the best ways to, like, monitor your progress as far as, for example, if your goal is to lose body fat and, you know, trim down, maybe build some muscle, what would you say? I mean, obviously the scales do come into it, but.
Yeah, it's what I do with clients. Like, I'm just kind of demonstrate that, like you said, there are other ways to measure progress, right? Rather than just fixating on that number.
Yep.
This can be physical and mental well-being, right? That's a sign of good progress. If you're starting to feel better, you're starting to move better. Simple. Yep. All right. Your strength is increasing in the gym.
Yep.
Another huge sign that progress is going upwards.
Metabolism, though, isn't it? Just to delve a bit deeper into that, like, there's no more clear cut example than, you know, if you're getting stronger, generally your metabolism is firing up, which is the most important thing, building that metabolism up.
Yeah, exactly, mate. Your skin's improving. Making better choices with food and lifestyle factors, such as your sleep is improving, your stress is decreasing.
Exactly.
Your clothes are starting to fit better.
Exactly. Your libido, and, you know, all of a sudden you're just like a god or goddess in the bed. I mean, it's just incredible.
And sometimes you get, like you said earlier with Laura, right? You're getting her to come in, name dropping again.
Yeah, so that's not her name, so that's cool. We'll use that name.
I'm sure when she's coming in, right? She's irate that the scales have gone up.
Yep.
So if you are a personal trainer and you're dealing with a client, you need to kind of give them examples of how far they've come and see where they've improved from day one. Because when you're trying to reason with someone who is irate and angry that the scales have gone down, it's very difficult. So just take your time and show them that they have progressed in a linear fashion since they first started. And then you make them realize that, hey, okay, I have increased my strength. I do look better. Yeah. Right. I'm moving better. I'm making better choices. So don't fixate just on that number, because it's definitely kind of an implementation of control, just checking the scales all the time. Mm. Now, you can check it, like Martin says, maybe once a week or maybe once a month, you know. But when you do that, don't get angry about it. Think of all these other factors that may affect it. Mm. You know, how has your week been? Have you overeaten this week?
Yeah.
Have you been lying to yourself about how much you've eaten?
That's exactly right.
Get leaner. Are your muscles getting tighter? Mm. Just look at these other factors. Don't let it control you, because when it starts controlling you, then mentally you're not going to be feeling right.
That's exactly right. And that's why we always say this time and time again, that it is a long road. I don't mean to sound, you know, glum about this, but, like, it's a long road. If you want long-term success, just like anything in life, you know, you've got to put the hours in, and you know, it can take some time to get to where you want to get, but the most important thing is enjoying the process, trusting the process. And like Andrew said, then this is the message we're trying to get across to people, you know, all the time now, is basically you need to get in touch with how you're feeling. You know it sounds a bit like, again, it sounds a bit hippie-ish, right? But how you're feeling, your energy levels, right? Is your strength improving? All these things are clear-cut markers of whether or not you're building a healthy metabolism and overall creating a better state of well-being, which in turn, guess what? Nothing's going to make your body look better, right? Nothing is going to make you look more aesthetic or have more of an admirable physique than focusing on health and getting your body, priming your body into a state of, you know, of optimal health and finding that balance in your life. So, you know, there's so many much more things which are important and fundamental than weighing scales. And also internally, you know, within the body, there's so much going on. I mean, Andrew and I are still learning every day. personally, I weigh myself every day only because I'm still trying to. I mean, even the level I've got to now, it's just a never-ending. It's a never-ending learning curve, you know. And there's so much going on internally with your hormones, your gut, and whatnot, that it's so hard for you to even know. You know, generally, most of the time, if your weight fluctuates on a weekly basis and it's quite drastic, like for example, my 5 kilos overnight, then you know that that's just purely going to be primarily water and what you've put into your body the days prior. So. So yeah, don't read too much into that. Basically, when it comes to weighing yourself, yeah.
Just understand that the scale weight isn't always an indicator of fat loss or fat gain as well. You know, it can be an indicator of poor sleep. Yeah. You know, you might be getting more 5-6 hours sleep a night as opposed to normally getting 7 to 8. Your boss may be on top of you in work, so your stress levels may have increased. You might have issues with partner, with your family, so. Again, this can, like Martin said, that, you know, your body is so intricate and there's so many things going on that anything can alter the scales on that day. So different hormonal issues. So it's just, I guess it can be, like I said earlier, it's an implement of control. So ignoring it totally again is altogether shows it controls you. Mm-hmm. So you should have a better relationship with the scales, right?
Yeah, it's just like anything, mate. Isn't it? Anything you abuse is going to become unhealthy. You know, that could be absolutely anything. But I was gonna say something then, but I've kind of lost my trail of thought. That's right. So, for example, when I start training someone, so if you're listening to this and you're either thinking about starting your journey, you know, your fitness journey, or you may already be, you know, it may already be part of your lifestyle. But for example, the people that I take on board, if they're new clients, I say, by all means, weigh yourself. I say, but that's not the top of the list for me right now. You know, your weight is irrelevant most of the time. Obviously, it's very rarely now that I get someone who's dangerously overweight and they want to, you know, they need to desperately lose body fat or lose weight really, really fast. Generally, it's people, like I said, who are looking to lose body fat. They want to look better. They want to feel better. They want to build their strength. You know, they want to just overall wellness. But obviously, everybody, most people want that killer physique that goes with it, whether they admit it or not. But within the first 8 to 12 weeks, generally, I don't really want their weight changing too drastically because, firstly, we're doing strength training, and we're doing some form of you know, muscle building exercises, which is going to favor their metabolism long term. So muscle is like 3 times more dense than fat as well, right? So, you know, that goes to show that you could build a little bit of muscle and, you know, your weight could go up on the scales. So, you know, I've had people within the first 4 to 6 weeks watching their weight go up on the scales, you know, not drastically, but they're bumping up a few pounds sometimes over the space of a few weeks, and like they just got to, and the ones who trust the process, they always thank me in the long term, because then, you know, the weight comes back down, you know, they're losing heaps of body fat, they can see by their clothes, pictures, you know, they transform their body just by trusting the process and not getting too hung up on the scales. So yeah, just to summarize that one, mate, what could you say to the listeners there to get it across?
Listen, man, if you on your fitness journey, if anything's been leading to anxiety or depression, I know that I've had issues mentally in terms of my in terms of nutrition and how I look, things like that. That's much better now because I've been implementing all the things we talk about on these podcasts. But if you do find that you have huge issues, then for you, like, weighing daily is probably not the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if you can weigh daily and you have a great relationship with the scales and you're taking and implementing all these factors in and it's helping you, for example, make better choices with food throughout the day, controlling portion sizes, you're making healthier options, then yes, use the scale as a tool. That's not a problem. It's very frustrating. We know that when you see the scale at the same weight or not moving in the direction that you want it to, it can be very frustrating, because I guess that comes down to the fitness industry as a whole. We're told in women's magazines or men's magazines that you need to see the scale weight moving as a sign of progress. Mm-hmm. That's not essentially true. As Martin said earlier, sometimes when you work with a new client, you want that scale weight staying the same. That's an indicator that your hormones are balancing correctly and that you're building muscle and you are leaning out. So don't use this number to control your life.
Exactly. That's it. And a lot of people have like a number in mind. For example, I always get people saying, oh, you know, I need to shift 6 kilos because that's when I was at my best. You know, that's the weight I like to be and stuff. And it's like, yeah, okay, I understand that, you know, and it's, I understand how you can attach, you know, when you were feeling your best to a certain number on the scales. However, again, going back to lifting weights and strength training and actually building, you know, a healthy body, there's a lot more to it. You know, if you really want to, you really want to get that overall package when it comes to having, maybe an admirable physique or whatever you want to say, a healthy, lean-looking physique, and having the wellness and, the positive mental attitude to go with that, then looking at numbers is probably not the best way to go. So, once again, it comes down to just focusing on how you're feeling and your performance in the gym and the simple things, really. So, yeah, don't
neglect... Go on, sorry.
No, go on, mate. That was it. Go on.
Huh?
Yeah, go on. It's all right. Carry on.
Yeah. Don't neglect your mental health for how you look, basically. All right.
Yeah.
In search of perfect aesthetics, because you need mental and physical well-being to go hand in hand. Like, I've definitely neglected my mental health in search of the perfect body. Since I've made that switch in mentality, I look better now and I feel better.
That's exactly right.
So, again, what we keep reiterating to and keep coming back to is that it takes time, guys. There's no magic pill, magic formula out there. You're in this for the long term. Stop fluctuating your weight. Stop fluctuating your diet. Focus on something that you can adhere to long term, whether it comes to training modalities and it comes to your nutrition. And the fact is that you will look and feel 10 times better, I promise you.
That's exactly right.
There's definitely an issue in the fitness industry, like most things. We're too focused on how we look, and we're not factoring in good health.
Exactly. Yeah. So we could kind of wrap this up now with a few minutes of just quickly running through our journey, because we've got to a level now. It's taken, like we said, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. It hasn't happened overnight. But Andrew and I have both got to a place now where we no longer think about, oh, okay, you know, how do I look? How are my abs looking? Obviously, we probably check our abs numerous times on a daily basis still. That's a given. that's just ingrained into us now, because obviously when you've stepped on stage and your physique's being critiqued and, you know, you've been judged and compared to other people, I think the way where Andrew and I were prior to embarking on our journey, you know, competing as men's physique guys and fitness models and whatnot, we already had a really unhealthy kind of body image issue, if you like, leading up to that, in terms of, you know, it's very common whether you're aware of it or not, but Andrew and I both were, you know, both quite skinny teenagers, and then, you know, whatever kind of happens along those years, they're quite tender years, and, you know, you're always sizing yourself up to other guys and whatnot. You have insecurities, and these things don't shift. They don't just disappear. So most of the time you're either going to cement in these issues in terms of, right, I want to look good, but then you're looking in the mirror and you're not seeing, you're not satisfied with what you're seeing. You're like, you know, for me, for example, as I've mentioned before, it's always been my legs a bit out of proportion with my upper body. You know, now I'm kind of in proportion because I've put the work in over the years, but I was always basically making it so much more worse in my head, and really multiplying this, you know, kind of exaggerating the situation in my head, when in reality it's all internal. So yeah, so getting to that point, folks, is a great place to be when you're just really enjoying the process, and you're just consistent with doing the things which really get you your bang for your buck, like lifting weights regular, and as we mentioned about NEAT, moving enough, and eating healthy whole foods, you know, for the most part, and just trying to look after your body. Everything will fall into place if you just focus on those things and the basic things. So like Andrew said then, unfortunately, when you go online nowadays, you know, everything is, you know, 5 minutes this, 20 minutes that, you know, lose 20 pounds of fat in 1 week or whatever it is. And unfortunately, folks, you're going to do more harm than good if you're getting sucked into these things. Not only are you going to get, okay, yes, for example, if I take someone now, using the weighing scale as an example, someone comes to me, all right, I've got a holiday in 3 weeks. I need to get lean. I've got 3 weeks. I want to lose all this body fat and this weight. Okay, sometimes I might say, okay, let's just throw everything in, including the kitchen sink, go for it. And because that's just such a short amount of time. I mean, you can't really do much with that anyway. So if you focus on, you know, looking at the bigger picture and thinking, right, okay, I want to do this long term and I want to sustain this for the rest of my life, then you've got to plan a bit ahead and just try and get yourself into these healthy habits, such as, you know, lifting weights a few times a week, walking, doing whatever cardio you enjoy. If you enjoy doing cardio or any form of exercise you enjoy, for God's sake, just crack on and do it, you know. So yeah.
Yes, sir.
What are you saying, mate?
Yeah, does it really matter how much you weigh? Think about it deeply, you know. Does it really matter how much you weigh if you're looking great anyway?
Yeah, that's it.
And,
doesn't,
you know, you're ticking off your checklist and you're feeling better.
That's it.
Mentally, and as I said earlier, like you're getting strength increases, your libido is improving, you're eating better, making healthier choices. These are all indicators of progress.
Exactly.
Again, yep. Keep going back to this. Do not get fixated on the number. It's just going to drive you insane.
That's it. So where are you at right now? Just to kind of wrap this one up, Drew, where are you at now then on your fitness journey? What's going on with you right now? Because obviously, you know, you're doing a lot of, you're signed with Wilhelmina, right? The big agency out in New York. You're doing really well with the modeling stuff. I mean, you're in the photo shoots you're doing and stuff are quite regular. And you're, I mean, you've been in good shape all year round for a while, but you seem to be tip top right now, mate. So what is it you're doing then to maintain your shit, if you like?
Same as you just said, then I'm focusing on the long term, not short term. Like years ago, I think when we were preparing for shoots and obviously fitness competitions, there was a case where we would spend a lot of time leaning out. We'd starve ourselves. We would put ourselves through most horrendous tasks and horrendous nutrition protocols with bland foods and excess cardio and things like that. Ultimately, yeah, it got us to where we wanted to be for that particular time. But after that, it would lead to uncontrollable binges and eating too much food and rebounding and putting weight back on and going back into that. So now I'm at a point where I have a much better relationship with food. I'm making better choices. My food is tasty and delicious. I'm not adding in too much cardio. I'm enjoying the form of training I'm doing. And it's just becoming easier to maintain a lean look all year round. Plus, I feel better with it.
Yeah.
I'm not suffering from, you know, depression, anxiety, those type of things.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough when you're out there and you're competing against other fitness models, but I know that, you know, some of them are doing some of these old tricks that we used to, and I'm thinking, wow, there's a much easier way.
Exactly.
And that's what you, as people, keep kind of and dissolving the information we give you, listen to other podcasts, search out the good people out there, and I promise you that you focus on the long term, like keep reiterating, then it will become easier to stay lean. And then when you have a holiday coming up or vacation or you have a fitness shoot, you can easily dial yourself in rather than suffering.
Yeah, exactly.
But the kitchen sink in, like Martin said earlier.
That's it. And how do you manage it? And for example, like the weekend coming up now, say, for example, we enjoy our food, right? We love our food. Just to put that one out there, folks, right? We are foodies. Yep. We absolutely love food, and we have a huge emotional attachment to it. There's no denying that. We're not as attached to food now and to the wrong kinds of foods as we used to be. But obviously, we still slip up from time to time, and I still have my odd little binge here and there when it gets out of hand. But for example, this weekend, Dan, right? So will you have any – what kind of food, for example, if you want to have some nice food this weekend – What would you have? What would be your choice of food? Because I know we don't really go for the crappy foods anymore, do we? Because we don't, you know? So you, just trying to get this message across to people, because it's tough for them, man. You know what it's like.
No, it's like you don't crave the crappy foods as much anymore.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing. And look, we're not going to sit here and say, hey, if we see a nice bit of carrot cake or pizza that we know that it doesn't taste delicious. We know it tastes delicious, but sometimes we'll take a look at it and we'll think, okay, how is that food going to make me feel? Rather than just gorging on it. Is it really worth me eating that food today?
Yeah.
You know, if you're out on a social occasion, you're with friends, you're with girlfriend, wife, something like that, and you want to enjoy food and that and not be awkward, then I will definitely eat, you know, a burger or pizza or something like that. And I'll just enjoy that social interaction rather than just focusing on the food. That's going to help build healthier relationships for me. Sometimes I'd much rather cook a home-cooked meal for me, that's much more enjoyable than eating out at some restaurants. And New York has some delicious restaurants, but I eat food there and I think, well, I could have made that better at home.
100%.
And my cravings have gone down for sweet things, for artificial sweeteners, because I'm implementing healthier choices over time. My palate has changed and my taste buds have changed, believe it or not.
You know, if you want to like a sweet dessert or something, say for example, you've had your meal, right? And then you want to have something sweet afterwards, something sweet and tasty, which is going to give you, you know, serious mouth pleasure. What would you go for, mate? Anything in particular, or any kinds of food you can think like dark chocolate, we like, don't we? And fruit and stuff like that, yogurt. Is anything which is really, I don't know, because you've made a few nice desserts, haven't you, as well? Can you think of any off the top of the head? Any nice desserts?
I tend to go for like coconut yogurt with banana, some almond butter, maybe some dark chocolate.
Same.
It's a nice little treat. But again, that doesn't sound too delicious to the average listener, right?
No. What was the one you made though? Didn't you make like an avocado and chocolate like fudge thing one day? What was it you made?
No, that's not me. I made a carrot cake out of different ingredients.
Nice.
Remember, calories still count when you're doing these desserts as well. I think that's the misconception people get, that they make desserts out of healthier food choices.
Exactly.
Healthier ingredients, and you know, calories still count.
That's it. It all adds up.
There, so it does add up. It's going to be healthier for the body, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah. So that's what it's like for me. Yeah. So like on the weekends, if I want I've got a sweet tooth. I do like to have sweet stuff. But generally now, my body just tells me, right, go for the fruit. You know, have like a bowl of fruit, or even like a big smoothie. Like I'll make a huge shake. You know, with everything in there. I've started using protein powder again now because I was struggling to get my protein intake up, despite all of my, my talking shit about supplements. But not, it's not like I don't, I'm anti-supplements. It's just like most supplements are garbage. But you can get your hands on some good ones. For example, I use this one now. It's just a protein shake. Tastes really nice. Vanilla caramel flavor. I'll make a big boy smoothie. So I'll literally put everything in there, like peanut butter sometimes, or not peanut butter, more almond butter, banana, some berries. You know, I even put some dark chocolate in there, some cacao powder as well. It turns out being, like Andrew said, calories do count. Obviously, Andrew and I can get away with more calories. But generally, it gives me what I need, and I feel okay afterwards. But if I go and have junk processed foods, which is designed, by the way, folks, for you to eat more and more and more and more, they're not designed to satiate you. They're designed to actually make you eat the fuck out of them, essentially. So just bear that in mind, you know, just try and connect with how you're going to feel afterwards and the next day, really, because you're essentially sabotaging. You could potentially sabotage, if you have a relationship like I have, where sometimes there's certain foods which are trigger foods for me. So if I have some ice cream or some cake or something, it can trigger off my old habits. So it's just being aware of that.
Yeah, so I had ice cream on Sunday because I was up for brunch with friends, and had it around probably 3 in the afternoon. And then I was craving it again in the evening. So
what did you do?
I made my own little dish, like yogurt and things like that, get rid of that sweet craving. But it could have easily turned into if that was probably 2 years ago, 3 years ago, that would have been an all-out binge.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd probably go to the store, grab chocolate, grab more ice cream.
Exactly.
Just let myself into a food coma. Next day, I would have felt terrible, had poor sleep. Plus my scale weight would have gone up
drastically,
probably 5-6 pounds, maybe more.
Well, that's exactly it, folks. That just goes to show, so preservatives, sodium, whatnot, chemicals, it will
and panic stations then, right?
Exactly. And then you feel horrible. But yeah, that's it, mate. Just to sum up the podcast then, just maybe one or two sentences, anything you can think of, really, mate, which you think will benefit the listeners. In terms of whatever it is, really, just give them a little bit of prep talk, mate, like you would your clients.
Yeah. So with that, like, just going back to that, if I obviously after the weekend, if my scale weight had gone up, don't panic. Basically, okay, I know it's an easy word to say, don't panic, but don't try and punish yourself with exercise. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the easiest thing for me to do would be gone and done maybe a circuit session or high intensity weight session, followed by some HIIT cardio. After having a terrible sleep, feeling a little extra stressed because I eaten those shitty foods, punish the body. It would have just put my body in another state of stress, which I don't need. So for me, if your scale weight does go up, try and relax, make better choices the next day. try and get nutrients in, maybe skip a meal or two. But don't let it control you again. If that scale does go up, it will come back down eventually if you make the right choices.
That's exactly right. And, yeah, just to sum it up from my end, I'd just like to say that, you know, whatever your goal is and whatever it is, whatever reason is you're listening to this podcast, then literally just if you stay with us, because we've learned so much, especially over the last 2 or 3 years since actually just listening to podcasts and kind of questioning things a bit more, really, because Andrew and I were both battling with maintaining a physique, essentially. So, you know, we got to extreme levels of low body fat from doing fitness competitions, you know, bodybuilding competitions, if you like, and photo shoots and whatnot. And we just did not know how to follow up this with maintenance, really. So maintaining a good state of mind and maintaining a healthy physique all year round and actually feeling good within ourselves was a lot harder to maintain once we had achieved the goal. And that's no different to Joe Average out there, really. Look, because, you know, most people, they are on a journey and they do want to achieve things. And most people are aware of the fact that it doesn't happen overnight. And thankfully, most of you out there are actually more educated now. And you know that actually this five-hour thing or this five-day thing is not going to be a long-term thing for me. It's not going to get me anywhere long-term. So the bottom line is, if you hire a trainer, hire someone who knows what they're doing, someone who's going to focus on the bigger picture and get you long-term success, and not someone who's just gonna, you know, just gonna hammer you in the gym, you know, absolutely annihilate you with this crazy high intensity training and cut you back on calories, have you eating chicken and broccoli. It doesn't have to be a grind and it doesn't have to be miserable if you just implement the basic things and be consistent, really. So yeah, that's it from my end, really, mate. Anything else you wanted to say?
That's pretty good there. You know, stay strong with your fitness journey. Focus on the long term, not the short term. Don't let anything control you. Build a healthy relationship with the scales and with yourself.
Great stuff. And on that note, Andrew and I are collaborating now, and we're kind of working behind the scenes, just getting content together and stuff. You know, different fitness programs and exercises, potentially nutrition guides and recipe books and whatnot. We're looking to be putting into integrating into a website for everyone to access, and we're just going to be pumping out lots of free content, blogs and stuff. So stay tuned, because soon we'll be offering one-to-one coaching as well, online coaching. So yeah, stay with us. And yeah, Andrew, what is your where can they find you on Instagram and stuff?
You can find me at Mr. Bond Fitness. And if you have any email inquiries or any questions, you can either DM me on there or you can send questions to mrbondfitness@gmail.com.
Great stuff, man. Thanks. I'll add that into the lowdown on iTunes anyway, so you'll be able to click his profile. Yeah, thank you very much for tuning in, people. I hope that was handy. We tend to go off sometimes on different paths, but we're always dropping knowledge bombs, so I hope you absorb some of that. And mate, thank you. It's, what is it now, 6 a.m. in the morning, so geez, you've been up for an hour talking to this donut already, mate, so you're off on the wrong foot.
I'm going to start work now in an hour, so it's time to go.
Awesome, mate. Thanks a lot, brother.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we'll have you again soon. Speak soon, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye.